So reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 11, texts 44 and 45, which is on the board. So there, both verses have got short purports. So we'll just read the purport, go through the verses, and then we'll do 45 together. So this is text 44. Nityananda Britya Paramando Pataya Shijiva Pandita Nityananda Gunagaya. Paramanando Padaya was Nityananda Prabhu's great servitor. And Shijiva Pandit glorified the qualities of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Sri Paramanando Padaya was an advanced devotee. His name is mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Shijiva Pandit is also mentioned as the second son of Ratnakarbha Acharya and the childhood friend of Hadhai Oja, the father of Nityananda Prabhu. In the Gaura Ganadesha Dipika, verse 169, it is said that Sri Jiva Pandit was formerly the gopi named Indira. And text 45. Vasati, residence. Translation. The 31st devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu was Paramananda Gupta, who was greatly devoted to Lord Krishna and highly advanced in spiritual consciousness. Formerly, Nityananda Prabhu also resided at his house for some time. Paramananda Gupta composed a prayer to Lord Krishna, known as Krishna Sutavali. In the Gaura Ganadesha Dipika, verse 194, it is stated that he was formerly the gopi named Manju Medha. Paramananda Padaya was Nityananda Prabhu's great servitor. Sri Jiva Pandit glorified the qualities of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. The 31st devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu was Paramananda Gupta, who was greatly devoted to Lord Krishna and highly advanced in spiritual consciousness. Formerly, Nityananda Prabhu also resided at his house for some time. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Jakshamintam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there's always a good fortune to be here amongst all of you, wonderful souls, at Bhaktivedanta Manor. We don't get much opportunity to do a jailbreak from central London, but every once in a while we slot up the pious credits so that we can come back into Vaikuntha. So with your blessings we can speak something. Purport's a little short, always harder when the purports are short, because normally we are reliant on Srila Prabhupada to open up a nice angle for us to discuss. Always when we're discussing something, then we're always discussing something from the angle of the acharyas. So I was meditating a little bit on what we could discuss here. And so I was thinking that most of us in Krishna consciousness, we're always reliant on situation before we can actually practice our Krishna consciousness. So if the situation is right, then something will happen. So just like in any relationship, if the situation is perfect, then activity will follow. So then, you know, just in the presence of those of us in different ashrams, then we'll just pick the ashram which is the most complicated, which is the ashram called the Grihastha ashram. So then next month we'll have the magical date, 14th of February, right? That's that magical date that the ladies are waiting for the guy to get it together at least once a year. And in that time, the guy is just thinking, okay, this is going to be a bit of a trip. Now what do I have to do? Okay, so then let me look it up online and figure out. Okay, so it says, you know, Google Acharya says, you know, this is what you have to buy, this is what you have to get. And you just walk into the shop, look like a complete idiot. And the guys are thinking at the shop, yeah, money. Because, you know, when the guy walks in, he hasn't got a clue what he wants to get. Everyone else is thinking, I can just sell him whatever I want, and he'll buy it, because he's got so much pressure on his head just to get that situation right. And why does he want to get that situation right? What's the result of that situation? What does he want to get from that situation? He wants to get some sensual pleasure. Or at least, for that one day, not a hard time from his other significant person. And she actually smiles at him. At least if that's good, then everything's going on. So we see in Krishna consciousness, we do that subtly or grossly. If the situation is right, we work so hard for a perfect situation, and when that situation comes, then we'll act. But Krishna consciousness is not dependent on secondary principles. It's not dependent on a situation. Because otherwise, how is it that the residents of Vrindavan, they have left what is considered to be the most perfect situation. They have come with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they have come in the most, what would be considered the most imperfect situation. Because you have to understand, at that time in India, what was the prevalence? The Moguls were running India at that time. It was not as if it was a free reign of Krishna consciousness and everything was like wonderful and brilliant. Just like if you see in the pastimes of Vrindavan, in Braj, every single aspect of Braj is working for the pleasure of Krishna. So the situation is easy. You don't even have to think about it. Every single atom within Vrindavan is working to facilitate Krishna's pleasure. But yet in the material world, everyone is trying to pull those atoms away from Krishna's pleasure. So we see the situation in the material is diametrically opposite to the spiritual. Yet, those personalities, they are coming down. Why? Why are they coming down? Why are they coming with the Supreme Personality of God? There's two reasons. One is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants his most closest associates with him. And secondly, Krishna trusts him so much. Imagine that much trust that he is giving the most valuable activity in this day, which is to recover those lost souls back to him. The most valuable thing, the most trusted thing. If you imagine you have something that you trust the most, an activity. And generally speaking, if you think about it, right? Even in ISKCON, and those of us who are in responsibility, if we want to do something that's very, very important, generally speaking, what do? We do it ourselves, right? How many times do we actually rely on another person to say, oh yeah, you're actually going to do it? Sutta Prabhupada was here. You know, he's in management. So then, you know, he's thinking, okay, I've got this really big thing to go on. How much reliance does he have on the persons that he's going to engage in? Generally speaking, I know in my mind, especially when there's a festival going on at Soho Street, you've got to be together when a festival is going on because it's such a small space. It's like crazy. And if you go and ask someone to do it, you ask them once, you ask them twice, it doesn't happen. So generally what happens is we just get in. And so it works. The festival goes on, the devotees are happy. Everyone is smiling. Right? And then everyone's patting you on the back thinking, yeah, you did a really wonderful job. So everyone feels great. Yet, take yourself out of your comfortable situation. You're not in a temple that you know. You're not in an environment that you know. Just like, for example, those of you who go to India, and you go to Mayapur or Vrindavan and Gopurnam and Kartik festivals, you are nobody. Zero. Doesn't matter who you are in this temple, you're nobody. And then how do you feel? How do you feel when you're standing there in the temple room? You don't have anything to do, you don't have anything to control, you don't have anything to manage. Then what is your relationship with the deities? What is your relationship with Prabhupada? What is your relationship with Krishna consciousness? Because we're so situation dependent, we don't even realize it. And it's so subtle that we're looking for secondary enjoyment without understanding the primary relationship. What is that primary relationship? Is that no matter what the situation, how can I please Krishna? So we see here, these personalities, just like for example, we have here in the purport, Paramananda Gupta. He's a Manjumeda. So Manjumeda, so just like, just a brief aside. So then, it's described in Shri Radha Krishna Ganadesha Dipika by Rupa Goswami. It's a very nice book. So basically it is the book that shines, it's called Radha Krishna Ganadesha Dipika. Just like we have Gaur Ganadesha Dipika by Kavi Karnapur. Of course, most of us know. All of you know who Kavi Karnapur is? I'm sure you all know. He's one of the sons of Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen is also famous because those of us who are attached to dogs, then we use Shivananda Sen's story. You know, Shivananda Sen's dog. So yes, I can also have a dog. So when Kavi Karnapur was born, when he saw Mahaprabhu, Then he crawled up to Mahaprabhu and he sucked his toe. And then as he grew up, then the devotees, they asked him to compose a verse. And he composed a beautiful verse. And therefore then Sir Damodar, he gave him the name Kavi Karnapu. Kavi means poet. And so then he writes this Gaura-Ganadesha Dipika, which is basically all of the personalities in Gauralila, who they are in Krishna Lila. It's very nice. Have an opportunity. It's available. So then also Rupa Goswami, he writes Radha Krishna Ganadesha Dipika, which means those personalities who are there in Gauralila, who are they in the original Lila? So it's shining the light on Radha Krishna's associates. So in there it's describing the different gopis. So different acharyas split them differently. Some split them primarily in a three. So then you have Krishna's equals, and then Krishna's maidservants, and then the gopi messengers. And then of Krishna's equals, then there's Varista and Vara. So Varista are the topmost. So does Varista, then we have the Ashtashakis. And so of those Ashtashakis, one of those Ashtashakis is Tungavidya. So Tungavidya, she's the one, if you see, I'm not sure if she's in Mayapur, but if you see the depictions of the pastimes, Tungavidya is the one who's playing the Veena. Because she's expert in music. She's also expert in all of the Shastras. Completely full in knowledge of every single science that there is. So in her camp, in her yuta, so then the camps are then split out. Then her chief maidservant is Manjumeda. So here we have Brahmananda Gupta. Oh. So this is that personality who's come down. So you imagine how close they are. And Tungavidya, what's her main service? She's very good in diplomacy. She's expert in diplomacy. So what she does is she negotiates the meetings between Radha and Krishna. So she's working it all out. So you have to also understand, in Leela, they're also married. So you see, their situation isn't exactly ideal, right? What would be the ideal situation? That it's just me and Krishna, right? Why did I have to deal with a husband? Why did I have to deal with a house? Why did I have to deal with all of this jazz, right? I just want me and Krishna. Just simple. Then I don't have to deal with anything else. No. In Leela, the complicated situation is the one that actually brings out the most taste. If you see it in every single pastime, the most complicated the situation, the more intense the taste, the intense the sweetness. Which is why we see then in Bhagavatam, you're not going to get more complicated situations than in Bhagavatam. You think your life is a mess? Compare yourself to these personalities in Bhagavatam. You think you've got a hard time? Compare yourself to those persons in Bhagavatam. Your problems are not even a drop in the ocean compared to the problems of these personalities in Bhagavatam. Just like, for example, if you read the story of Ajamiya. Ajamiya means, his name means that which will never be repeated. It means his story is so unique, it will never happen again. So you can't get more wild a life than Ajamiya. And it was so crazy that not even the Yamadutas could figure out what was going on. I said, how is it that this guy, right? And then we see in Gauralila, we see the most intense manifestation, even greater than Ajamiya, we see Jagai Madai, where we see also it's described that Chitragupta, who's the accountant of Yamaraj, you know, he'd run out of space in his ledger to write down what these guys had done. He'd run, you know, imagine if you run out of space to write down the bad stuff that this, you know. So we can't get crazier than that. We can try. We may think, you know, oh, we're so fallen, we're so this, you know. No. So these personalities, they're coming down. Why are they coming down? And then what are they doing? They're establishing such a wonderful situation that at every moment, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always thinking, how can I provide a better situation for them? So to execute this service. This is how rasa works. That the Lord is always thinking about His devotee's well-being, and the devotee is always thinking about the Lord's well-being. And this is the whole principle of what is happening here. And these are Nityananda's associates. So what's Nityananda? You know, as I'm sure the previous speakers have been discussing about Lord Nityananda's qualities. So it's also described there that these devotees, when they get together off the wall in their association, they become so intoxicated that they develop their cowherd boy vesh. They start dressing up as cowherd boys. They start going out on the street and acting like cowherd boys. And you know, if you read about when the cowherd boys get together, it's like a riot. Slapping each other, you know, having so much fun. Just like, you know, you all had Sankirtan festival, right? And so, you know, when the devotees are getting together, what's it like? It's like so much fun. So much fun. This is the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. We have that nectar, because then in that nectar, then when the hard situation comes, we understand that that nectar has come because we've gone through that purification. So these personalities, they've gone through. Not all of these personalities are nitya siddhas. Not all of these personalities are eternal. Some of these personalities would have gone through the process, gone through understanding of the Vedas, gone through understanding sadhana bhakti, gone through all of these practices. But primarily focusing on the main point, which is Krishna is always going to be in the center. So when we see a situation, how do we filter it in our mind? Just like, for example, if tomorrow Nityananda Prabhu is going to come to your house, those of you who have houses, or Nityananda Prabhu is going to have a tour around the ashram, for those of you who live in the ashram, what's it going to be like? Can you say for sure your situation is the best to welcome the Lord? And even if your external situation is the best to welcome the Lord, how about your internal situation? What's your internal situation? It's called the heart. Is your internal situation ready to welcome the Lord? Externally, you may create so many nice things. Just like the other day, there was a gap in the schedule, so we got, generally speaking, we don't get much opportunity to dress Giriraj at Soho Street, because his service is quite well sought after by many devotees. And also you have to be quite expert at painting, which I don't have that skill for sure. So somehow there was a gap in the service and we were dressing Giriraj. So then we were looking at pictures of what previous devotees had done, and we were thinking, oh, this is nice. And we were just meditating. But we were meditating on the result. That, oh, if I did it like this, then, you know, someone will say, oh, Prabhu, you dressed nicely today. That's what we're waiting for, right? Whenever we do any aspect of service, we're waiting for someone, just subtly we're waiting for, oh, Prabhu, you led a really nice kirtan this morning. It was really sweet. And you're like, oh, yeah, finally. Finally, someone realized, you know. Everyone else is getting in my case all the time, but yet someone. Okay, so there's hope for me. Yeah. So we were sitting there, we were doing the puja, and then we were thinking, okay, so, you know, turbans, because normally when we dress Gornitai at Soho Street, then it's easier. You know, turbans, you got it down, it's not a problem. So in the Giriraj, it's easier, right? Because he's got his, you know, there at Soho Street, they have the already a mold which goes on, and then you wrap the cloth around, so no problem. So one time did it, sat down, wasn't working. Of course, with Giriraj, the more added complication is you can't touch him with your left hand, because you can't hold shaligram with your left hand. So when he's down and you've got to dress him, then you've got to figure, you've got to calculate how you're going to work everything out so that you're left-handed. So you've got to concentrate, you've got to focus. So then I'm figuring it out, trying to do the whole thing, trying to do the turban, and then once, okay, twice, okay, third time, it's not working. And then by that time, I'm not focusing on Krishna. I'm focusing on the result. And then I'm so attached to the result, I just completely lose consciousness, completely lose focus. And then all of a sudden I realized that, hang on a minute, why am I trying to get the result? Am I trying to get this result for Krishna's pleasure? Or am I trying to enjoy in that situation for my pleasure? So then I just put everything down, ran upstairs, got the crown, put the crown on Haribol. This is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means that every moment, at every step, we're looking at our situation and we're seeing how is this situation for Krishna's pleasure. Because if we're in the situation for our pleasure, we're missing the relationship. And if we're missing the relationship, the Supreme Personality of God, it isn't going to be coming to our house. You have to understand that here, these persons, they have very, it's described here, Prabhupada mentions in the, you know, these personalities are mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's one line. I had a look at Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is also a very nice book. So many books to read, right, in Krishna consciousness, is where you start. Fortunately, when we were younger, we were a little bit more enthusiastic for reading, which was good, so we got the opportunity to read quite a lot of books. And Chaitanya Bhagavat is also very sweet. Because there it's describing the Lord's pastimes in much more detail, specifically his earlier pastimes. Very, very sweet, by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So, there, just very briefly, the lines described, these personalities are greatly devoted to Krishna. So what does it mean, greatly devoted to Krishna? What does that mean? Greatly devoted to Krishna. What does that mean, Sutta Papu, for you? Greatly devoted to Krishna, what does that mean? Mind, body and words. Okay, mind, body and words. Anything else? Anyone else like to share? Greatly devoted to Krishna. No desire. Material gratification. How about spiritual gratification? No desire for spiritual gratification. So when the Sunday feast comes, you're like, no Prabhu, no sense gratification for me. Right? No. You sure? It's prasad. So then every Sunday feast, when you've eaten too much, you'll make the promise, I'll never eat that much again. And then the next Sunday feast will come, and what will happen? Same problem, right? So as Sutta Prabhu is saying, it's greatly devoted to Krishna, and actually it isn't really about your activity. Greatly devoted to Krishna is about your consciousness. It's nothing to do with your activity. Because otherwise, how is it that a prostitute can be glorified in Bhagavatam? Right? So, the story of Pingala. Right? She's a prostitute. So it's not exactly, you know, how would you say, you know, something you'd put on your CV. Right? What do you do when you're walking into the spiritual world? What's you know, on your CV, you know, what do you do? Oh, yeah, I'm a prostitute. Oh, yeah, come in there. Right? No. This has nothing to do with your situation. Situation, Krishna couldn't care less about your situation. Most of the time, we're in our situation because of our attachments. 9 times out of 10. We're in our situation because of our attachments. We're attached to a particular situation, therefore we'll try and move everything around for that situation to be prevalent. Just like we travel a lot for work. So last week we were in... Prague. So it seems that the weather from Prague has come over to here, because just as we left Prague it was snowing, so then somehow or other the snow has come. So in there, so you're sleeping in a hotel, right? So generally speaking, I mean, for me, when you're staying in hotels, it's a trip. You can never have a good night's sleep, because it's not your environment. It's not your bed. It's not near a comfortable situation. Just like when you go on holiday, even if you're going into the Dham, right? Oh, it's so wonderful being in the Dham, right, J.P.? So wonderful being in the Dham. So purifying. And then when you come home, oh, I'm home. Oh, my room. Oh, my bed. Oh, such nectar. Now I can sleep. Oh, Krishna, thank you so much. So attached to our situation. Subtly or grossly, we are so attached to our situation. That is what stops us from actually connecting. That's why these personalities are defined as great. Why? Because they are the personalities that weren't attached to their situation. They are the personalities that when Krishna played his flute, they dropped everything. They didn't care about their situation. They didn't care about their child. They didn't care about their husband. They didn't care if they were dressed properly. It's described there, very beautiful, you know, how it's described that when Krishna played his flute and the gopis put themselves together, it was almost as if a child was dressing them. You know, because, like, you know, the makeup's here, you know, dresses like this, the whole thing is going on. They didn't care about the externals. They didn't care about anything other than the Supreme Personality of God. And if he's calling me, then I'll go. So Nityananda Mahasaya is calling his most intimate servants to come down to the material world and to not be in positions of greatness, not to be in positions of glorification, but to do the hard work. Because actually Nityananda's associates, they are the ones that went out to preach all of these far-flung places, taking on such hardship, such difficulties, all for Nityananda's pleasure. And because they knew that they were pleasing Nityananda, and Nityananda's focus is always to establish, because he is the Lord's sitting place. He is that Sandini Shakti, which means that support. Right, he's Anantashesha, which means that he's supporting everything. So what is he doing? He's creating the situation to support the Lord's preaching. So he's not looking at the external, he's always looking at the internal. So therefore, when we're practicing Krishna consciousness, we look at our internal consciousness first. What's our internal mood? How can we adjust our internal mood to such a degree that it doesn't matter what's going to happen tomorrow in our external situation? Just like, you know, the kids will wake up, they'll look out of the door, and they'll see all the snow, and they'll think, oh, such wonderful nectar. And the adults will wake up and think, oh, man, how am I going to get the car out? How am I going to do this and that? And, you know, it's like, you know. We think, you know, completely different degrees of vision, depending on what? Depending on your identity. Depending on your identity. So these personalities, what is their identity? It has been defined by who? By these great personalities. Not because of their situation, but because of their attitude, because of their consciousness. They are defined as the great devotees. And it's not as if they've got pages and pages and pages written about them. It's just one line. And Nityananda Prabhu stayed at his house. I looked in the folio, looked around, I had a proper search about these personalities. The only gopi that I could find is Manjameda. Even Indira Gopi, she's not really listed in many places. But you have to understand, there are a lot of gopis there. A lot. Just those who are listed, there's so many. And what is our position? Our position is not even that high. Our position is that we're the servant of the servant. Yet here in the material world, what are we trying to do? Even in Krishna consciousness, what are we trying to do? We're trying to enjoy the secondary situation. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is providing us such nice secondary situations here. So we're just trying to enjoy them. Just like, for example, Sankirtan Festival, you know, just the other, I came back from Prague and, you know, there was somehow or other we got one of those magic sweets. Really nice sweets, actually. I wanted to find out who made them. With the, you know, the, I'm not sure if it's white chocolate. Of course, we shouldn't say that word. Imitation carob. Yeah, and, you know, so we were thinking, oh, wow, wonderful. And then we're sitting there and we're eating the sweet and we're thinking, oh, such wonderful sweet. So we're enjoying the secondary situation. But how did that secondary situation come? It's because the devotees, in their kindness, have recognized. Because they can see service. It's not because of your activities. It's because the devotees can recognize. And when the devotees recognize, Krishna recognizes. That's how it works. So it's not that we try and adjust our situation to such that Krishna will see us at all times. No, we adjust our situation to such that the devotees will give us their kindness. And that can only come through service. It can only come through humility. It can only come through steadiness. It's just like in your personal spheres. What's it like when you have to deal with unsteady people, unreliable people? It's a headache. It's a trip. It takes so much energy out from you. And yet you want to perform those same activities when it comes to Krishna consciousness? Then why would you think Krishna would want to deal with you? Why would you think the devotees would want to deal with you? So we have to become steady. And steadiness can only come through purifying our natas, right? After nata nivritti, then you become nishta. So nishta only comes when anartas have come out. And how do anartas come out? Through sadhusanga. So this is our lineage, right? Just like you have these programs, right, on TV. Who do you think you are? Right? And then these great, wonderful personalities, they dig into their, you know, genealogy, and then they, generally speaking, every single time the program, the reason why it sells is because they find out that one relative of theirs many, many years ago was some crazy person, you know. And then they, you know, then the film cameras are watching their reaction thinking, oh my God, you know, I'm related to that, I'm associated with that. That is the problem with material identity. With material identity, when you connect yourself to the material world, you don't have any good qualities. You don't have anything good to shout about. This is our genealogy. This is our family tree. This is our support. This is who we are connected to. These are our forefathers. Therefore, how do we become qualified to be associated with them? It's easy to become qualified to be associated with material energy. Just enjoy your senses. Gross or subtle. It's easy. But to become qualified to be associated with these personalities, that takes sense control. That takes a desire to want to please. Without amanina manadena kirtanya sadahari, without thinking about your situation. That is Trinadapi. Trinadapi is not about, you know, oh Prabhu, I'm so fallen Prabhu, please forgive me Prabhu. No Prabhu, I can't do this service, I'm so fallen Prabhu. No. It means that the Supreme Personality God can trust you. That's Trinadapi. He can trust you with the most intimate, the most important service, which is to bring others back to his lotus feet. That's why Krishna says that in the Gita, that this secret is the most precious of all secrets. And those persons who give it to others, they are the most dearest to me. But Krishna also says, be careful not to give it to those who are unfaithful. But then Prabhupada says, we take that on our head. We take that risk on our head. Krishna may say, but we take that risk on our head. So when Krishna sees that the devotees are taking risks, that charms him even more. So these personalities, they're taking risks. Their situation isn't exactly the most perfect situation. If you look at a lot of their situations, it's not exactly the most perfect situation. So you have to understand, what did they come from? Where did they come from? And what was their situation now? But nothing has changed. Just like in previous verses we've heard, you know, in Guru's association, you know, and you know, this personality was the, you know, water bearer, this personality was the pot maker. And in Guru Lila, that's exactly what they do. Because Krishna relies. Krishna's so dependent. That is the last stage of bhakti, Krishna Akarshani. That is prema. Prema means that Krishna becomes controlled. Therefore, then Krishna becomes dependent. Krishna becomes subservient. So if you want to control, right, every time in Krishna consciousness, satya grossly, we're trying to control our situation. But if you really want to control, You have to give up your desire to control. And then to please. This is how we become connected to these personalities. Because otherwise then we're just reading these verses. Oh yes, this person in Gorgonadesha Dipika is such and such. Great, horrible, wonderful. What time's breakfast? Oh, and let me get on with my day. No, but the point is that we read about these personalities. Why? So that we can understand what is our lineage. And therefore then, as I said before, how do we become qualified to claim that? Just like we also were involved in marriage services for the community. And so then when you get, you know, devotees, they fill up different things. And then one form which doesn't seem to be really much used these days is Gotra. Right? So before, especially those in cultured societies, they knew their Gotra. They knew they could go back to the Prajapatis. And they would say it very proudly. Now, and then, so the, what did the devotees claim? Prabhupada has established the Chuti Gotra, right? That's our Gotra. Achutya, which means inconceivable. How do we make that claim? We can write it down on a form. We can say, yeah, what's your Gotra, Prabhu? Oh, Achutya. Yeah, what? Yeah, me too. We're in the same family. Hey, well, hey, well. Next question. Who are you initiated by? Yeah, and then you wait for the filter to come. You know, depending on the spiritual master, then you'll have the reaction. Oh, so wonderful. Oh, you're initiated. Oh, really? I didn't recognize. Oh, okay. Who's that? So many filters we have. We don't even know what we're filtering half the time. So many times we're calculating our situations without even thinking about it. But it doesn't matter. The point is that the focused person, the conscious person, they see service no matter where it is. Because they're eager to take the association. Why? Because then these personalities remind them of these personalities. Because the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the branch of the Chaitanya tree. And all the branches are connected to the trunk. And the two main trunks are Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya. So everything is connected back. We just have to have the consciousness and the focus to know how to connect it back. That means every situation, every moment, at every second, how are we consciously thinking about how this activity is pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How is He in the center? Because otherwise we are always going to be subtly, grossly attached to secondary results. I came number one in the, you know, Sankirtan Marathon, great. Then everyone's going to be like, Hariba, Hariba, Hariba. You know? There are very few devotees who've won marathons, right? It's rare. If you actually ask Sankirtan devotees, how many Sankirtan devotees are left that actually won marathons that are still practicing? There are not many. Why? It's because everyone's looking for secondary. Yet there are those devotees, you won't even hear about them. They're going out every day. Brigapati Prabhu, for example. I'm not sure even how old he is now. He's not young. He's been doing book distribution. One of the few, you probably could count them on your hand, those devotees who their service was book distribution and their service still today is book distribution. Because they're not looking for secondary. The minute we look for secondary, then we get thrown out of the airports. Then we get thrown out of all of these places. Then we have to think about starting to sell records. We start thinking about all of these things, you know. Because we're always thinking about the secondary, right? So in any service, if there is a block to our service, it's nothing to do with the service itself. It's to do with our attitude to that service. Because why would Krishna stop service? Krishna wants us to serve. The devotees want us to serve. So if there's a block, it's our attitude. Or it's what we're trying to get out of that situation, whether we like it or not. So these personalities, these wonderful devotees that we're reading about, they're the ones that enable us, that give us the understanding of what is the qualification one needs, and therefore what is the endeavor one has to make. What is the yajna one has to take, depending on one's attachment. Therefore then we have the secondary aspects of Varnashram Dharma. All of these aspects are there. They're to support the yajna. So this, whatever ashram you're in, that is your ashram. Then what is the, your yajna in that ashram? And Krishna gives that clearly in the Gita. You know, for the brahmacharis it's this, for the grihastas it's this. For the grihastas it's, you know, sacrificing your senses into the fire of the senses. You know, many times I ask the grihastas, do you know what that means? Sacrifice your senses into the fire of the senses. Does anyone know what that means? You think about it, read it. How many times you read that verse? What does that mean? Sacrifice your senses into the fire of the senses. Pandit? No? What does it mean? So therefore, that fire, right? Samsara dhava, nadanita loka. Fire of samsara. That's also considered to be fire. Fire of birth, death, old age and disease. So in the grihastha ashram, you're faced with that more than in any other ashram. Because your attachments are the closest to you. You're sacrificing that fire back into the fire of the senses, which means you're giving up your desire to enjoy. And you're transforming that, putting Krishna into the center. That is yajna. Otherwise, what are we doing? We create our nice house, or we create our nice situation, and this we sacrifice everything for the fire of our sense gratification. Our sense gratification, as opposed to Krishna's sense gratification. Just like His Holiness Bhakti Vishwambhara Madhava Maharaj was telling me one time, he was on Govardhan Parikram. And he was walking past Brajbasi's house. He'd been living in Govardhan for many, many years. And he saw Brajbasi's son, just born. And Maharaj asked the father, oh, this is your son? And he said, no, this is not my son. This is the servant of Giriraj. That is consciousness. How you look at everything, how you perceive everything, how you identify with everything, and who is the proprietor of everything. As we learn at the beginning, when those of us who study Bhakti Shastram, Ishavasham concept, right? What is that Ishavasham concept? And Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Krishna is the maintainer of everything. Therefore, because Krishna is maintaining me, I will come down to the material world. Because I'm not thinking about my situation. I'm not thinking about the secondary. I'm thinking about the primary. Okay. Any questions, comments, adjustments? Because we have reached the end of the road. I don't have anything else intelligent to say.